Well, praise the Lord. Is God good to you, and do you love Him with all of your heart? Are you enjoying what He's doing in your life and in your home and in your family? Well, praise God. So very good to be in the house of the Lord today, and just amazed at what God is doing. Today, Iran lifted off a space shot. They can get out of the atmosphere, and that equipment can deliver ICBMs. And so it's a pretty exciting day to be alive in the kingdom of God. You've got ancient Persia there that Ezekiel talked about almost 3,000 years ago, rattling its saber, still in the earth, still hating God's people, still wanting to obliterate Israel, who shouldn't be there at all, but they're back after 2,000 years. And the prophecy just keeps hammering home and telling you, it's amazing what Jesus did in His earthly ministry. How many people saw it and heard of it, and how many just turned away and didn't respond to it. It is amazing that God led His people across the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan and did miracles in their lives every day, but they died in the wilderness of unbelief. And today, the world is so focused and preoccupied with everything that's at their feet and everything they're involved in, and the prophecy of God is happening all around them. And they don't know. The scripture says it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. And they had a sign as big as an oil tanker right in the middle of the plain where they all lived, but they couldn't see it. I'm so glad that God has revealed Himself to us. I'm so glad that God has made known to us His desire. I'm so glad today that this thing was not done in a corner, but rather God has made it available to all of us. Praise God. Brother D'Antoine did a wonderful job here. He overlooked something very important, though. He overlooked Sister Mia's grades, and she's in Miss Vine's room, I think. And awesome job, Mia. Mia made all A's, so... Let's see, I think the man with the camera is here somewhere. You may have to stand here for 5 or 10 minutes, but tell you what, we'll hook up with Brother Butch after service and get your picture. And we'll act like it was during service, okay? We're so proud of you. If you're going to men's retreat, there will be a turkey shoot. And they say bring your 12 or 20 gauge. If you're interested in the turkey shoot. So, that's what I'm talking about. Bunch of fellas together with shotguns. All right. So, and they're raising money for some good cause. So, go and take part and have fun and enjoy yourself. No, they're not shooting turkeys. Let's see. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you brought me mustard seeds Sunday morning, see me in the office after church. Or if you're a son or daughter, we have all of our quizzers out. They just left, and our growth class group, our young growth class group just went out. So if you brought me mustard seeds Sunday morning, please come and see me after service. It was pretty funny. Because I would stand here and they would bring me 5 or 6 mustard seeds and put them in my hand. And as soon as they had turned, I'd throw them back out on the floor. And they'd find them again. And they'd bring them to me again. It was really... But I want them to remember that. I want them never to forget what God can do with something tiny in their life. Little things become great in the kingdom of God. And I want them to be thoroughly impacted by the Word of God. We're going to be back in Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 13, the mother load of parables, the beginning of the parable flow in the New Testament. And in 13, Jesus gives the reason that he teaches in parables. Tonight, we're going to start with verse 47, Matthew 13 and 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. But they didn't. But that's another story. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for the word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. Ah, we give you praise, mighty God, and we magnify your name, and we thank you, and we worship you. You are so very good to us. Ah, we give you all the praise. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to give God praise for the three that received the Holy Ghost and were baptized Sunday. Baptized in the mighty name of Jesus. Filled up with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, just like the Word of God promised to those in attendance on the day of Pentecost, their children, those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That promise is available to anybody that will open up their heart. The kingdom of heaven, and this is synonymous with the kingdom of God. So if you want to parse that and determine that there's some difference between the two, I don't want to talk to you. They are interchangeable. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And this is a shocking thing that Jesus is bringing into the mentality of the Jewish nation in the time that he's in his earthly ministry. Because they're expecting in their chronological flow of the fallen mankind and all the demons and devils, the present evil age, they're expecting Messiah to come like a bolt of lightning and rise up and in military and political power establish the kingdom of God in Israel like the promise of God was to David, and all of the eschatological references and prophecies from the Old Testament foretell that. In Isaiah and in Zechariah, you got a God coming back to establish a kingdom. Zechariah 12 and 14 is about Armageddon, but they thought Armageddon was going to happen in their day. And Jesus was turning this all upside down. He was doing the miracles and he was impressing everybody, but then he was talking like the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world were going to be coexisting in the world. And for how long, he didn't tell them. But all of those parables about farming and planting, the wheat and the tares, all that's growing up together. And the parable of the sower, it's a process with a growing season and then the harvest. And so it's going to take a while. And they weren't excited about that. And they hated what he was saying so badly that they ultimately nailed him to a cross. But he's shocking them with all of these parables. And the parable here, the kingdom of heaven, is like a net cast into the sea, and it gathers of every kind. Everybody say, every kind. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. The sea in this parable is the world. Every kind of fish is out there. And in the world, there are no good and bad fish. There are no good in the world. We use that generically. Well, you know he's a good person. You know she's a good person. But in the world, there are no good persons. You've got to get this and understand me here tonight. I'm not being critical of people you love. I'm just telling you, at the judgment bar of God, your goodness, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't make it in without a redemptive experience in the blood and in the spirit and in the word of God. You've got to have this contract. You've got to be in covenant with God. Your good works and your good nature and your happy ways won't get you in. So we understand generically that there are better and worse out in the world. But in terms of this, there are no good and bad in the world. But he casts a net into the sea. Stephen, would you come and help me tonight? And Josh, I've got a net behind that chair right there. Would you come and bring that net? Don't throw it out on anybody because it has lead weights around the edges of it. I just want you to kind of take it side by side and just kind of walk through here. And Zach and Jermaine, why don't y'all come and let them catch you in the net? Oh, just throw it on them and see what happens. No, I'm kidding. Brother Cliff, if they get all tangled up, come help them. Now, this particular net is not authentic to the biblical situation. This is more like something you would use in the surf. But it serves the purpose. So one of you on one side, one on the other side, and you're making your way through, and the net catches those fish. Because Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So in this parable, we understand we've already gotten on the parable train, and we already understand we're working with metaphor and simile, and we're working with typology and symbolism. So we're not fishing for fish, but we're fishing for men. Right. And the kingdom is like a net cast into the sea, and it catches all kinds of fish. Right. Brother Randy, there's room for you here. We're not going to let you take part, Kadarius. We don't want you to hurt anything. You just sit there with your neck brace. And I told him he's going to have great posture when this is over. And stand like a soldier. And so we catch stuff with a net. But now, he said, now it's like a net cast into the sea and it catches all kinds. Out in the world, there are all kinds. There's blowfish and pufferfish. And there's bottom dwellers, and there's all kinds of fish. And so when you cast the net, you catch all kinds, but none of them are good. But in the parable, we find that in the end of the parable, they draw the net in. And as they draw the net in, at the end of the parable, they sit down and they figure the keepers and the culls, or the good and the bad. And he said it's going to be like that at the judgment. The angels will come down and they will determine and they will separate. He said they will sever the wicked from the good, or the good from the bad, and cast the bad into everlasting fire. He calls it a furnace of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The things you go through to be part of this church. I really do appreciate it. So we catch you and you're all bad when we catch you. Amen? How many of you were already saved before you got saved? So there's no good in the world. Without an experience at Calvary, without an experience in the Holy Ghost, without going down in the water in Jesus' name, without the redemptive process and the word of God and your name in the Lamb's book of life, there is no salvation. And so nobody has hope outside of the net. Nobody has lasting joy outside of the net. Nobody's name is on the Lamb's book of life outside of the net. So it's necessary to get hung up in the net. And I mean, this thing hangs you up. And it's not the nature of the fish to get in the net. And it's not your nature to get in the kingdom of God. And when you first get in the kingdom of God, it wraps you and ties you and tangles. Sounds like an old song. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. And we are. And there's part of us that wants to break free. Now, the difference in all of these parables, the soil is inanimate, and the wheat and the tare, they are inanimate, and or rather they're living, but they're not sentient. They're not conscious like you are. But we're talking about men and women. And the difference here, you're not just a fish that knows something is wrong. You're a man. And you, by choice, have come into this. And by choice, you will stay. By choice, you will cooperate. By choice, you will embrace. But listen to this business about the net. We catch all kinds of folks. Come on with me now. We catch all kinds of folks, and we're making our way to the end. We're making our way to the harvest. We're making our way to the trumpet sound. And at the trumpet sound, the angels come, and the angels determine the good and the bad. You mean after we get to the end of the kingdom, some in the net are still bad? Yeah. After we get to the end, after we've made our way through the church, some people say, oh, you apostolics, you think you're the only ones that are saved. And we tell them it's worse than that. Not all of us are saved. We're all in the net together. But there's good and there's bad in the net. And some folks want to leave the church because there's some bad in the church. But I'll tell you, there's no good in the world. The only place I'm ever going to encounter the true goodness of God is in the net of the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So give a little fishy wiggle there. We got these fish in here. And they don't want to be in here. But we've got them now. We've caught them now. God has caught me in his net. And he's going to take me where he wants to for me to go. But by will, I still have the moral choice and the free moral agency to, at the end of the journey, yet to have never submitted my will to God and to still be fighting against the net. Because the net says, you would go here, but you can't. You would be somewhere else, but you can't be. You wouldn't live in these confines or these constraints, but you are. Because now you're in the kingdom of God. I tell you, it was a happy day when the net of the kingdom of God fell around your life. It was a good day. And I'll tell you this. You may think that it was your decision, but God cast the net. You may think that you did it on purpose, but I'll tell you, you were out in the world lost and undone without God. And God, by mercy and by grace, cast the net and you got in it. How many of you know it was not your nature to respond positively to God? How many of you still feel the struggle of the net from time to time? That's why we fast, and that's why we pray, and that's why we diligently adhere to the practices of living for God as presented in the Word of God, because we make ourselves into subjects of the King. It is not our nature. We are caught in a net. But now that I'm caught, and now that I have understanding, I'm looking out at all the free fish that can go anywhere they want and be anything they want and do anything they want and drink like a fish. How many of you are glad that you're in the net tonight? That the net imposes the controls and the command structure of God on your life. Well, praise God. This is getting worse by the minute, isn't it, Zach? But I figure as long as I've got you, please, Brother Butch, get a shot of this before. Yeah, before we decide if they're going to heaven or hell. Well, Brother Randy, in the net, some of them are going to go to heaven. But some of them are going to a furnace of fire. How about you? That's what they all say. That's what they all say. How about you, Jermaine? Oh, yeah, that's what they all say. How about you, Zach? Well, that's what they all say. How about you? How about you? How about you're just not participating at all. Is it that you're not sure or you don't want to or what? What is the, how about you? That's what they all say. You know, the numbers are really pretty bad, though. How many of you live for God long enough to know that a lot of people that are seated in these seats right now, if God tarries for 10 years, will not be serving God. How many of you know that already? Touch your neighbor and say, you can go where you want to, but I'm going to live for God. And in the end of this, I'm going to be standing. When the dust settles, I'm going to be standing in the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go back. Is there any help? Give me some help. I guess we can release them. It's a terrible thing. Verse 47 again. Give us verse 47. Praise God. The net catches all kinds of fish. Do you know that it's not the will of God, nor is it biblical, nor is it in any way an approximation of the scripture to have a monochrome church? It catches every kind. The only way you can have a church of one color and one culture is if you do it on purpose. Because you can't just indiscriminately cast the net and only catch one kind of fish. Unless you just live in a place where there's nothing but crappies. And if you live in a place where there's nothing but catfish, well, that's what you got. If you live in a place, but I'm telling you this, your church ought to look like your community. Your Bible study ought to be for anybody that comes, that has a desire, that has a heart to live for God. Somebody say amen. Well, praise God. The only line fishing in the whole Word of God is where Jesus tells Peter, cast a line and catch a fish, and in his mouth you're going to find a coin and go pay the tax. He said, that's what you get with a line. But the kingdom of heaven is as a net cast into the sea of the whole world. So we cast the net indiscriminately into the world, and we catch all kinds of men, all kinds of fish. And we don't care what kind of fish we catch. We catch a fish that's all ogly-goggling and kind of acts funny and is a little bit strange. He's in the kingdom with us. Come on. We've got you in the kingdom. You know what you are now? You're my brother. I'm in the net with you, and we're making our way into the kingdom of God, and we're going to live for God. And you may be the subject of ridicule outside there in the world, but not in the house of God. We don't have that kind of practice. We don't have that kind of culture. We're all in the net together, and there's mercy here, and there's grace here, and there's kindness here, and there's temperance here, and there's love here, and there's not a caste structure. If there is a caste structure at all, it's the caste structure that was taught by Jesus, that said, if you're going to be the great, if there's anyone to be great among you, let him be your servant. And so your servant, the greatest servants among you are the greatest among you, according to the word of God. Everybody say, all kinds of fish. We catch all kinds of fish, and we don't care what kind of fish. If you got money, you come on in the net. If you don't have money, come on in the net. If you have an education, come on in the net. If you don't have an education, come on in the net. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your family culture is. I don't care if you're raised in the city or on a farm. It doesn't matter at all. Once we get the net around you, you belong to God. Come on. Come on. Now, in the net, there's going to be those who ultimately will be good. But there's also going to be those that are ultimately going to be bad. So what do you do about that? You love them. You nurture them. You feed them. If I, as a pastor, feed everybody here and I don't feed you just because I know you're a loser. I tried to talk to God about that one day. I was teaching lots and lots of Bible studies. And a whole lot of them wasn't panning out. And I said, God, you know, we could save a lot of time if you would just take me to those that were going to live for God in the end. It'd be good for me, good for you, good for the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? And it's one of the few times in my life I have actually heard God chuckle. And that was his answer. That was his answer. His answer was just to laugh at me and let me think about it for a while. And as I thought about it, Holy Ghost said, I died for all of them. I died for all of them. They're all precious. They're all worthy. They're all targets. They're all somebody I would like to get in the net. So you got to love them all. You got to teach them all. You've got to feed them all. You've got to deal with all of them. Well, praise God. So there's good and bad in the house of God. There's good and bad. I'm going to go a little further. In this parable, it doesn't begin until the net is cast into the sea. And so you have to presuppose some things. How does a net get into the sea? Men cast it into the... And how do the men get into the sea? Oh, okay. And if we went to Luke there, we would get an accompanying scripture where Jesus comes on board Peter's boat and he says, launch out into the deep, and he has them cast their nets for a draught, and they catch a great catch of fish, and the ships are about to sink. But this presupposes this in Matthew's parable. And so there is a ship, and the ship, I want to suggest to you, is the church of the living God. And as we launch out as the church of the living God, and we cast nets, Sister Franca, and we catch all kinds. We catch Italian fish, we catch Mexican fish, we catch all kinds of fish. And we bring them all into the net, and we know. Touch your neighbor and tell them, there's good in the net with us, and there's bad in the net with us. And this is God's plan. Deal with it. That's exactly right. We're just going to deal with the fact that God helps us to come into the net, but you don't escape the evil of the world just because you're in the church of the living God. Well, praise God. So I've made it a practice to, while I'm in the net, to squirm over and get amongst some that are like-minded. Because there's some bad fish in the net. And I don't want to be over here. I'm in the net, and I'm glad to be in the net. I'm going to stay in the net. God's going to take us all the way down to the end. But I'm going to learn how to navigate in the net. And here I am. I'm going to hang out with you. I'm not going to hang out with Brother Warren because he keeps saying these negative things. He keeps talking bad about the people of God and about the things of God. And he's like Eeyore, Eeyore. He doesn't have any positive things to say at all. It's always bad and it's always calamity. And I think we're all going to die. And so I don't want to be in that area of the net. I want to be over here with somebody that's happy. Tell me something good. You know the devil's having a bad day. But you know, he can't do a thing in the world about what's going on in the house of God. He's trying to kill Kadarius, but he can't because God. Come on. I believe we got more sick people in this church family right now than we've ever had in the whole history of this church. But you know what? The devil's having a bad day. He can't do a thing about what God is going to do in this house and with this people. Devil don't like it, but he can't stop it. Well, praise God. Praise God. And so the net is the kingdom of God. And we are the church is the ship. And we are like Peter there in the story of Luke's rendition of Jesus coming on board the boat. We cast nets. Brother Cliff casts nets all day. And when I'm in my daily prayer, I pray the kingdom of God come. And when I'm praying the kingdom of God, I pray like the vision of the prophet, water springing up in the temple, filling the temple with waters that spill out into the city, that fill the city ankle deep and knee deep and thigh deep, and then waters to swim in, and then waters that cannot be passed over. That's how the kingdom is, by the scripture, designed to come into this city. And then I pray that it come like a net cast into the sea, because that's what the word of God said. I said, God, you filled up the net on the day you stood with Peter on his boat. Fill up the net of every Bible study today. Fill up the net of the Sunday school. Fill up the net of the buses, oh God. Give us a bunch of little kids that come out of homes that don't know anything about God or the kingdom of God. Fill up the net, God, of every witness and every testimony. God, fill up the house on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Every time we open the door. You know what we're doing tonight? We're casting a net. You know what we're doing on a Wednesday night? We're casting a net. Well, praise God. We're going to cast the net of the kingdom of God. Now, there are some folks having Super Bowl parties on Sunday night. I see signs down the road. Come join our Super Bowl party. And I'm thinking, Friend, if I wanted to go to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be in the church. If I wanted to live with fools like that, I wouldn't be in the church. You got to understand that from an apostolic perspective. If you have people you love that do things like that and go places like that, they just don't understand what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, there's just a dichotomy between what I am and what I used to be. And I'm not interested in, why are you going to bring those two things together? That's like Hophni and Phineas having illegitimate relationships with women, immoral relationships with women in the very house of God. That preacher's so stupid. He said going to the Super Bowl is like fornication. Well, it kind of is. Because while you're there, you're... And they dance, and they shout, and they have a celebration, and they... You know what that is? That's worship. It's worship. What is it worship of? Well, it doesn't matter. It's worship of something other than God. And if it's worship of something other than God, then it's either spiritual adultery or fornication. If you are in covenant with God, it's adultery. If you're not in covenant with God, it's fornication. But both of them are a problem with God. So don't be who dat and me. Praise God. So if I'm in the net with you, friend, and all you want to talk about is what's going on out there, I'm thinking, I'm glad God delivered me from out there. I'm going to swim my little fishy self over here and get away from you. I don't want to talk to you about all that nonsense. Now, I do read the newspaper, and I do try to stay abreast of current events, so that when I meet some guy at the tire shop, or I meet some guy out in the street, or I talk to some contractor somewhere, I can at least intelligently talk about current events. Because I want to get a net around him. He's going, come on, little fishy. Don't be afraid of me. I'm like you. I know stuff like you know. And we're talking about the same stuff. And what I do, I hide my weirdness until I get you in the net. And then I got you in the net. And then, hello, I'm Barry Sutton, pastor of New Life United Pentecostal Church, sometimes WPF. But we're just really normal, average people, and we love God and praise God. Yeah, I can talk to you about politics and business and, all the things that are going on in our world. And I act like a normal person, but I'm not. Ain't nothing normal about me at all. And all I want to do is get up close to you and get into your heart. And then before you know, I got my net on you now. And now I've got you in the kingdom of God. That's what I'm doing in your house, Maria. That's what I'm doing in your house. I hope Calvin listens to this and hears this. But what I'm trying to do in his house, I'm trying to get the net of the kingdom of God around him and drag him into a place where he's a fish in the kingdom of God. And he knows he's in the kingdom of God. And at some point, he loves being in the kingdom of God. That's what I'm trying to do with you. Well, praise God. That's what we did with Monty Culver. We got in his house. Oh, he let the fishermen in the house. Rule number one for the fish, don't let the fishermen in the house. But you got us in the house. But once we're in the house, it's over. It's game over. We're ready. You're praying for him. Lakin's praying for him. I'm praying for him. We got the word of God. And day by day, inch by inch, step by step, that fish is getting closer and closer to the net. Well, Brother Marnie's sitting there. And he doesn't have a fish's idea what's about to happen to him. But at some time in that Bible study, the net of the kingdom of God came down on him. And he came down and got in the water in Jesus' name. He got down in this altar and got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues. My God, he's in the kingdom of God now. It's like a net cast into the sea. God, fill the net of every Wednesday night. Fill the net of every Sunday night. Fill the net of every Bible study. God, fill the net of the kingdom. Somebody give God a little praise right now. Bless his name. Magnify his name. Praise God. Brother Cliff, when I got this net, I thought, now I really did, I thought, I've got what looks to be like 60 to 80 pound turtles behind my house. And I might be selling them short. And I thought, how much turtle sauce pecan could Cliff Collins make out of that? So when I'm done here, I'm going down to the creek. And I'm going to see, I don't know, he might eat that, he might tear that thing up. You'll have to come tell me if this is a worthy net or not. Because there's some stuff you can't catch in some nets. But if I catch him, you'll cook him? If he cooks him, will you eat him? I heard a lot of negative there. Brother Cliff moved to Birmingham. It was like Tarzan goes to New York City. He was out at Hoover Lake fishing with a little Vietnamese guy at night, catching turtles under the streetlights. But that's God brought him here because we're post-tribbers, and Brother Cliff's going to keep us fed during the tribulation. Ah. All you need is one good harvester, man. Some of you are so pre-tribber, you can't even smile at that. That scares you so bad, you can't even laugh about that. It's going to be when God wants it to be. Don't get yourself all out of joint about it. It doesn't matter what I say or what you say. He's coming when he wants to come. Proposition is you need to be ready. Verse 48, when the net is full, they bring it to shore. They sit down, gather the good into the vessels, cast the bad away. Verse 49, it'll be that way at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want us to just for a moment look at Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, it is story of Jesus on board Peter's boat. This is like an extension of what we're doing here in Matthew 13. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. They're at the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. Everybody said they had their nets. They were ready. They had their nets. You're not going to catch anything if you don't have your net ready. If you're not involved in ministry in this church, you need to find a place that you can be involved in passion. I don't care if it's cooking for the Sunday schoolers or cooking for the elders, or I don't care what it is, picking up trash in the parking lot, everything that everybody does, we all lay our hands on the work together, and the whole thing becomes a great net that we drag across this city, and we're going to catch every kind of fish. Somebody say praise the Lord. But you've got to have yourself a ministry. You need to be involved. You do not need to be a dead sea. All right. And verse 3, he entered. Jesus enters into one of the ships, which is Simon's or Peter's or Cephas's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sits down and teaches the people out of the ship. Touch your neighbor and tell them, if you're going to catch fish, Jesus has to be on the boat. Praise God. We don't want you just over there yapping your gums for Sunday school, but Jesus has to be on the boat. And when Praise Group B is singing on Saturday night or at Smoothie Joe's, it can't just be you guys getting together for fellowship and hanging out with one another, but we got to have Jesus on the boat, and he's got to be there as a part of it. We've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost in every net casting that we're involved in. I want the Holy Ghost falling in Sunday school. I want the Holy Ghost falling on the praise group. I want the Holy Ghost falling on Saturday night with the Spanish ministry. We need Holy Ghost in everything. We need Jesus on board the boat every time. Every time. My God, don't you dare go to a Bible study until you're prayed through. Don't you walk into ministry here carnal. Find yourself a prayer room. Pray yourself through. Get over all the things that are troubling you and go in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there is no way to understand how great of a ministry God can give you if you'll just yield yourself to the Spirit of God. He is greater than your intellect. He's greater than your ability. He's greater than your personality. If we can get Jesus on the boat, we can have revival. Praise God. He sits down. He teaches the people out of the ship. Verse 4. When he's done, he says, Peter, now launch out into the deep. And we've talked about this a good bit. And this coming Sunday is our launch into the deep offering. But you can't catch what God has for you in the shallows. You've got to launch out into the deep, like those in the psalmist's words that launch out and see the wonders of God in the deep. We don't want to be a church that flounders in the shallows. You don't want to have a little namby-pamby shallow prayer experience. You don't want to have a little shallow experience in the Word, but you want to launch out into the depth of what God can do. Is anybody here just want to see what God can do? What kind of ship this is that we're a part of? What kind of fish we can catch out in the depth of the sea? My God, let's crank Tuesday night prayer up a notch. Let's crank the worship in every service up a notch. Let's crank the witness up a notch. Everybody in the house, go through the resource room tonight and get yourself some cards and get yourself some tracts and don't talk to anybody in the city tomorrow except you give them a card and say, come, go to church with me. I'll give out a million of these things and I won't touch everybody that I give them to, but somebody's going to come live for God. Somebody's going to say yes to a Bible study. That's what fishermen do. Brother Cliff, I'm kind of focusing on you tonight, but we know that you're a great hunter and fisherman. So, have you ever been fishing and didn't catch anything? Even noodle fishing. Did you ever go? But if you didn't catch anything, did you go back? Of course. Well, that's insane. If you don't catch anything, why do you go back? Because that's what fishermen do. They just go back. They don't quit because they don't catch something. So you get you a pocket of those cards, a purse full of those cards. You give them out to everybody you see. You make sure everybody at your school knows who you are, where you go to church, and has a card from that church. I would suggest to you, go get your own cards made with your own name and smiling face on them, like a real estate agent or somebody that's selling some other type of merchandise, and say, hey, I'm a child of God, and I've got a net, and I'm trying to catch you. But you don't really tell them that. That kind of gives them the creeps. So you don't really say, I'm about to put a net over you, and I'm about to bring you into the house of God. But you really don't tell them that. You just say, I'd like to teach you a Bible study. I'd like you to come to church. You love church. And so you, oh, I can see them now. Get the kind with the color pictures. And give your best, most glowing smile. And I mean just fish all over this city. And we'll pray, God, fill your net with all kinds of fish. If you've ever been a part of true revival and you've ever seen a great influx of people, you know it begins with just a few people and a few contacts, and their contacts spread out and their contacts spread out, and it kind of takes on the configuration of a net, and it's all woven together. You draw lines between each of those people who are points on the page, and it takes the shape of a net, and it's all pulling in together. And I'm telling you, it doesn't take but just a few. It just takes a few. But if those fishermen say, Jesus, you know what? We've been fishing all night. Go to the next verse. Peter says, God, you know what? We've been doing this all night long, and we hadn't caught a thing. You know, God, I've been praying for revival forever, and I've been witnessing to people, And I've got a gajillion little cards spread out everywhere. And I don't have anything in the world to show for it. But he says, come on, one more time. Cast the net one more time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Take the net. Go catch Brother Scott back there. Just take it one more time. And just take the net of the kingdom one more time. And do anything you got to do, brother. Oh, take your glasses off if you need to. Hold on to your hair, whatever. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad to be in the kingdom of God with you. Has anybody ever witnessed and the guy or the gal didn't come? Have you ever been to a church service and worshiped your brains out, but nobody got the Holy Ghost? But Peter said what? He said, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. I want you to stand up and get a little attitude and just say, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let the net down again. My God, I know it's the will of God. We're going to do this again. We're going to do this every time we open the door. We're going to do this tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to go out into this city. We're going to cast the nets again. We're going to see if we can't catch something for the kingdom of God. Everybody say, praise God. I want you to come down around the altar tonight, and I want you to come with your family. If you don't have family, I want you to adopt somebody. Make room. Make way. When you get down here, I want you to just begin to talk to God. God, mighty God, I want you to fill my net filled up with fish. All kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. Fill my net, God. Fill the net of every Bible study. Fill the net of the Sunday school. Hallelujah. If you're first, you need to come on down tight. Come on down close. There are people coming behind you. If there's anybody here tonight that has never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God has that for you tonight. If you've never gone down in the water in Jesus' name, God has that for you tonight. Hug up your family and tell them, let's pray God fill the net of the kingdom. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every witness, every testimony, every Sunday school class, every Smoothie Joe service, every Spanish Bible study, fill the net, oh God. Fill the net, oh God. Fill the net, mighty God. Draw those fish. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, mighty God. Press on into this church. In the midst of this, somebody could receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.